This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
11 o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 15 minutes or so, but today in the NFL could be a historical day if, in fact, a couple things pass at the league meetings. I want to start with what I hate the most of the rule changes, but also one that I actually think has a much bigger impact than even a tush push, and that is this idea of reseeding the playoffs. That, yeah, if you win their division, you get an automatic berth into the postseason, but it no longer would guarantee you a home playoff game. I think this is a terrible idea. It's proposed by the Lions, but according to Mike Florio, Roger Goodell likes this. Roger Goodell would like that, and you're wondering, why does Roger Goodell want it? That's because, in their mind, it would guarantee better matchups, better games in not only the playoffs in the opening round. They're thinking that the final couple weeks of the season, when sometimes those games get a little stale for non-playoff teams or contenders, that would add some new incentive and interesting dynamics to how the last couple weeks are going to be played. The proposal came from
those
the Lions.
Winning teams would still keep playing. Yeah.
Yeah. It came from the Lions, not from the competition committee. Although Detroit president, Rod Wood admitted last month that the proposal was made at the behest of the league office, where that is where the commissioner wants this in hopes of making those late season games. So they did not vote on it in March. You guys remember, that means they didn't have the votes to get it done. So the question is, over the last 2 months, has Roger Goodell convinced / brokered deals to get this to pass? Right now, we all know if you win your division, you're locked into a seed based on your record, but you know you get a home game. And there's no worry that if you rest week 18 like the Chiefs did, that you would lose your seeding based on record or something if another team was in position to tie you record-wise. If it passes, it would eliminate, obviously, the requirement that a wild card team who might have a better record would have to travel to, let's say, the four seed or whatever. This year, the Chargers would have, I believe, hosted a playoff game as a wild card team.
So the way I guess I view this and the reseeding it, so I guess what I'm curious what other people's opinion are, 913-586-7965. My initial instinct is this still helps the Chiefs. Their record will always be good. Therefore, if for some reason they don't win their division 1 year, they'll still have a really good record, and a reseeding in the second round would mean more home games for Kansas City in the Patrick Mahomes era, etc. But there's part of me that thinks, because the number of games the Chiefs play, the ability to sit out week 18, whether you're the two seed or the one seed or whatever, the three seed, and you're just kind of locked into your seeding because you've won your division and it doesn't matter, might be more beneficial to them than getting a reseed in the second round for hypothetically maybe the one time they don't actually win their division and aren't the one or the two seed anyway. And so, like, in the long run, I actually think this might hurt Kansas City in the short term. But I'll say it will make week 16, 17, and 18 a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Because it will take away the incentive to kick up your feet when you're the 10-7 team and you're locked into the five, because if it turns out if you win, you can have a better record than the team who won their division, therefore might get a home playoff game. I just think that this, more than anything else you mentioned, more than the tush push, more than they're looking at the onside kick, this fundamentally changes the sport in a very, very big way. Like, and so, like, I don't want to ignore that part. It really changes the sport.
Big time. I don't like it at all. Like, I understand their argument would be, the division still matters. It guarantees you a playoff spot, but you are taking away some of what it means to win a division and why it's a big deal. It's not just that you get a playoff spot. It's that you get a home game. Your fans, like, I know we've been spoiled long enough in Kansas City. They've won it 9 straight years, so we're used to home playoff games.
Your but fans imagine, get to see you play.
Imagine that feeling when we all had when the first time in a while the Chiefs were hosting a playoff game. That was a huge freaking deal. Imagine if you're a team like the Lions, who were bad for so long, you finally won your division, and you got to host a playoff game at home. I mean, that's huge. And you can argue on the other side and say, well, yeah, you hadn't been in the playoffs. You finally got in as a wild card. You got a chance to host a playoff game then. I'm always under the belief, call me old school, I guess. You win your division, you get a home playoff game. Sorry. The one-off couple years where I win 10 games and the sixth seed or the
that's
five
not
seed.
That's often, but it happens.
The fifth seed happens to win 12 and I'm a 10-7 team and I won my division. Tough. It's kind of the way it goes. Sorry, you didn't win your division. The division has to matter. And just being locked into a playoff spot to me is not enough. Give me a home game. That's always been the thing in the NFL and a lot of sports, but specifically the NFL. You win your division, you get a playoff game.
I guess
home.
That's kind of the question is, will it start turning into like the way we feel about the NBA? There are divisions in the NBA. Does anyone care about them?
No, nobody
Drew,
knows
can
even
you
what
even
they
name
are.
Them? Like you, we all watch the NBA, and I'd have to struggle.
Nobody Southwest, says the Atlantic. Nobody says, wow, they won the Atlantic Central. Division.
Yeah, no one cares. But, they talk about the West and the East. Does it just turn into AFC, NFC?
But that's the thing.
And then division rivalries. And we talked about this with college sports. You don't want to kill that part of it. The like division games matter more, those six games, because those six games don't matter more. You get more of them on your schedule, but they fundamentally do not matter as much anymore if the AFC and the NFC are just based off of reseeding.
Yeah, it lessens what it means to win your division, and I would be with you. If they make this change, then they might as well consider just making it rank out the top eight teams or whatever it is in each conference and just be done with it. And it's an AFC-NFC conference thing. Yep. They're currently seventh in the AFC, and you just know what that means for you and just go for it. I don't like that idea, but if this is where we're going to go, and if the commissioner is behind a proposal to reseed, I'm worried that this is going to pass today. I do not like this at all, and this is not just because the Chiefs are in the middle of a divisional run and they've won 9 straight. Like, I firmly... like just as a sports fan, fundamentally disagree with the notion that you will take away a guaranteed home playoff game from a division winner. If there happens to be a wild card team like last year in Minnesota's case that won 14 games, but they lost to the division leader Lions. And if they're, and then they would have hosted a game instead of Tampa, I guess, or whatever it would have been.
I told you I would make, and I know it's more complicated. And then the more complicated it is, the less interested you are. I would just make exceptions for the extreme examples of this. If I win my division with 10 games and you win 11, I don't actually think that we need to be swapping everything out and making a big deal and changing all. It feels like a lot to do for we played 17, 18 games and there ended up being one difference between our record. A million things could have caused that. Our starting quarterback could have been out for two. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But if there's like a we won 14 games and you won 9, like, there is a number of games in which I would entertain it. I would just make a clause about, like, hey, if our – everything's the same. But if we're 4 games, 3 games, okay, fine. Then this is kind of crazy.
So it has
that
to be
– 4 games better, you know?
So it has to be a wild card team that has 3 wins more than –
exactly why no one will ever sign up for it. Yeah. Is that I'm making it too complicated, even though I actually think it's the better system. But when you try to go explain it to everybody, layman fan is like, the hell are we doing here? And admittedly, it's probably too complicated.
I think the idea of it, emulate, because hockey in a way is similar to the NBA in the fact that they don't rank, they don't, if you win, there's only 2 divisions in each conference, but if you have a record that's worse, like for instance, it was the Winnipeg Jets and the Dallas Stars with a 2 seed, but the Stars are in the same division as the Jets. It's like the NBA. There's not enough, in the NBA and NHL, there's enough games where even though you play the teams in your quote-unquote division more, it ends up kind of cycling itself out of relevance, really, when it comes to the seeding. Where in the NFL, your division really impacts your schedule so much where if you win your – like if the Chiefs win the division and the AFC West is as difficult as it was last year, you should absolutely be rewarded for that as opposed to – if, let's say, the NFC South, for whatever reason, the Panthers are really damn good and they go 12-5 – but the division's easier. I think there should be some sort of relevance where just because your record is good doesn't mean that you're deserving of being a higher seed than if you won in a tougher division.
913-586-7965. That's kind of what a texter was alluding to from the 816, said, hey, an upcoming team would have a last place schedule and you could then overcome the top teams with tougher schedules.
Yes.
If you win your division, you were going to play other first place teams. So now in a weird way, so I can play an easier schedule every year and win a bunch of games theoretically as a wild card team, host a playoff game, but then the next year I still get to play an easier schedule over and over. Like, why do you get the benefit of both?
If we're reseeding, then it shouldn't be both. Right.
Well, that's
like,
why
I should get stuck with the, if I'm the three seed, even if I'm second in my division, I should get stuck with a, I don't know. I feel like I should get stuck.
Yeah,
with a more difficult schedule, but you can't do that because it's not in division, so it's tough.
Do you guys think this passes? If Roger Goodell's behind it, I think there's a chance it does. I hope it doesn't. But usually, when the commissioner is pushing something, it gets done, right? He gets the owners to back it. He works for them, but he still can broker deals. You know, basically, I'll scratch your back kind of thing if you scratch mine, and on some other proposal that they want. You know, if you vote this way on the tush push, I'll make sure I do this for you on this one kind of thing.
I'm curious. So in a way, this kind of turns into, it's weird, the NFL turns into college football partially in this. Would you rather, and I think your answer is going to be absolutely not, but would you, let's say they just go to straight seed or straight off a record, would you rather them rank the teams one through eight? Because I think then you would account for
who's ranking them. Who's ranking them?
I don't know.
I don't want the college football. No, I already hate that.
I'll let you finish, but I hate the idea.
I figured you would, but I think you with the ranking, you at least get some fairness of, hey, they played in a first place schedule in the division, and they actually played well with it, as opposed to, well, this team went 10-7, but the division's really tough. Sorry, guys. You're a six seed because there are other teams ahead of you.
Like, Could you imagine this last year? The Chiefs won 15 games. They were 15-2 when it was all said and done. But because we all know the national narrative was, well, they're winning a bunch of close games. They're not that good. Some idiot on the committee would have tried to convince everybody that they're the third best team or something in the league. And I totally don't like that idea.
Like, the division thing, I guess the reason why it always seemed more fair than the NFL's making it seem is like, all right, you play in a bad division, you win your division. Okay, so what? You stacked up wins. You're not like any better or worse than anyone else. Two teams out of your division come out of there. You guys played a bunch of softies. It just feels a disadvantage to be like, well, I play in a weak division and I can be seated wherever I want. Mm-hmm. Like, there isn't like a slide in there where you still have to accomplish the thing in order to do it.
And my big schedule would be a whole lot more important in terms of how we view it.
Yeah, I would just say more balanced schedule than just get rid of divisions and all that stuff. And I don't want that because that's what, honest to God, I think it's the biggest mistake college made in all of this is. I think sports thrive because of hate. Like, want rivalries and people you hate, and gold from birth has been naturally raised to hate the Raiders because they are in the division.
That's right.
And you hate them more when they win your division or anything else in between. And that, like, means something in the NFL. It still means something in baseball. It doesn't mean anything in the NBA. And as a result of that, you just have to go to the natural rivals or this stuff. I feel like it might kill that. I feel like it might hurt that at the very least.
We'll see how this plays out today. Again, this is one of the issues they're voting on. We can talk more about the tush push. There's some revised language with that could lead to a getting banned later on today. I think that is going to get banned.
Yeah, I think so too.
But it will also have some language that makes it seem like they're not just focused on the Eagles portion of it.
We're getting everybody.
Because that rule already kind of existed before. They just stopped enforcing or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the way they're going to phrase it. There's also some discussions, as you said, Cody, about onside kick rules and trying to make that a relevant play, I guess. And otherwise, might as well just not even allow onside kicks. So we'll get to that maybe a little bit later on in the show. Before we get to the trash of the day, I want to briefly talk about the stadium front. Carrington had the Speaker of the Kansas House, Stan Hawkins, on his show yesterday, getting the latest of where things stand. We mentioned this last week, that it sure seems like everything is kind of converging on the month of June. You know, the state of Missouri and the governor said that they're going to have a special session, or plan is to have a special session to discuss a stadium bill. We know the star bonds expire at the end of June. It all seems like June is when it's going to happen. Here's what Representative Dan Hawkins told CDOT yesterday about the Kansas proposal compared to the stadium bill if it passes in Missouri, and could they actually have a strong counterpunch?
Well, I think it's going to be difficult for them because that that star bond is a really strong tool to use, whereas I think the state of Missouri has to just write funds out of their treasury, and that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough for them to put a lot out there. Certainly Jackson County not being able to pass a sales tax hurt them. So I actually think we're probably, you know, I think we're in the driver's seat on this deal. I wouldn't surprise me if we get both of them. I think it's also difficult that they couldn't pass something during the legislative session. If they would have passed something during the legislative session, it may have changed the direction of things. You know, I know the governor of Missouri has talked about calling a special session in June, and my thought is, I've been in the legislature for 13 years. What's going to change during the special session that didn't happen during the regular session? So if they had a hard time doing it in a regular session, they're going to call a special session and do it in a day or two or three, whatever that is. I doubt that that's probably going to change things a whole lot for them.
So that was, and obviously he's on the Kansas side. I want to, so let's understand where he's coming
his
from.
His point of view is,
but I think it would be fair, very fair to say that if right now Missouri does not have any additional funding mechanism at the state level passed. Nope. So of course, Kansas,
a special session.
I think it's very fair to say Kansas, as it sits right this second on May 20th, is in the driver's seat to land one or two of these teams. They absolutely are. Now that can change if Missouri were to pass something in the special session. And I think, you know, the general point probably is true, which is, why do you think 2 weeks later everybody's going to get it figured out in Jefferson City? My answer to that would just be, the reason why they didn't figure it out is politics. The reason why they could figure it out is also politics. You know what I mean? Like, so that's kind of where I'm at on why the special session could make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't blame him for thinking that. I think Kansas is kind of getting one no matter what. I just feel like there's not enough money to go around based on how Missouri's been handling this thing from the beginning. The more interesting part to me was when he talked about this, and I'll play it here in a second, the Chiefs versus the Royals part. Mm-hmm. Once again, it's always, the Chiefs have just been kicking their heels up, waiting for something to happen.
I would say 4 months ago, I felt like the Royals were probably the best chance, and I still think they are, but the Chiefs are coming on strong, and based on some of the things that I know is that some of the talks that I know are happening out there, I think we got a really good chance of getting both of them.
So the way that I view this, and look, I'm sure he does. Again, on the Kansas side, I think it's a little bit different. I think if we played Mayor Lucas or somebody else on the Missouri side.
Oh, and we have, yeah.
And they would say very similar for the Missouri side. Based on what I've heard around the Chiefs, it still goes back to the initial thing. The one thing that gives me big pause about whether or not the Chiefs end up in Kansas is, I still firmly believe in-house that Clark Hunt wants to renovate Arrowhead and stay there. The whole thing that we talked about, Gold, when he went through the renovation plan the first time, I think he very much wants to protect his family and his father's legacy by staying at Arrowhead. And so, like, the fact that the talks are just now getting going with the Chiefs, I think is largely because Clark's initial instinct is to stay where he is. The Royals, I can't figure. Downtown's the only thing they talked about a million different times in a row. And to go out to the suburbs of Kansas feels like the antithesis of what their original plan was.
And I agree, but at some point,
money talks. I get it.
And it's a business decision. And if it's true that nothing happens on the Missouri side from the stadium bill, and one side of the state line is going to offer you, let's say, 70%+ of your project covered, well, I mean, from a pure business standpoint, you'd almost be foolish to not accept it. So we'll find out. I really think June finally is going. I'm not saying we're going to know the exact sites and every rendering.
No, he made a point of that too. I think these deals are coming soon.
I think it's June. Everything's converging on June. It just has to. If we're talking about special session in Missouri, if we're talking about the star bonds on Kansas side expiring end of June, mm-hmm. some point next month, I think we're going to finally have a real, real good idea of the approximate location, at least from a state line perspective.
What a month. We'll know which state they're going to go to. You'll find out how your card's doing in auction. Go ahead, Drew.
Why are people so triggered about this thing. I don't understand. Like somebody,
what part? What are you talking
about? The
person who said, Kansas versus Missouri part.
It's the whole. What are they going to be called? The Wyandotte Chiefs. You realize?
Spoiler:
that,
they'll be called the Kansas City Royals and Kansas City Chiefs.
And mind you, the same person said you can't make money off a name of a city you aren't a part of. I live in Legends. I live in Langen.
Yeah. What city do you live in, Drew?
I live in Kansas City, Kansas, boys.
Correct.
They can be called the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Atlanta Braves do not live in Atlanta proper. Like the
Dallas Cowboys aren't in Dallas.
They're in Arlington.
About like the most premier brand.
We can just keep going on.
The Golden State Warriors. Well, they're Golden
San Francisco
State.
49ers are in Santa Clara, California. We can go on and on. The New York Giants and New York Jets are not in New York. They're in New Jersey. We can go on and on and on. This is how it plays. The spoiler is the Chiefs and Royals will be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals still, whether they're in Missouri or Kansas. That's just the reality of it, and it happens all across the country. You personally might have some weird thing at some point. You're going to just call it the whatever, and that's cool, but that's not how anybody else is going to call it nationally or actually from a marketing standpoint. That's always a weird
one. They're going to rebrand. They're going to change the jerseys. They're going to change the colors, the logo. It's all going to be different.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even have an alt jersey. Now, Clark's going to change the Chiefs jersey. Like, I bet that when they sign up for all those, like, City Connect ones, they're, like, year three or four. Clark's probably like, push me down as far as you can.
Wow.
I know eventually
someone's very upset. Someone's very upset.
Which part?
They're in the same state, you bleeps. Which, what are you talking about?
But Dallas is a city. They're not the...
What are you talking about? He's saying...
They're not the Texas Cowboys.
He's trying to argue that because they would move to a different state, then it's... No, there is
a
city...
I can see Missouri almost from this studio.
You mentioned
but
the
literally,
New York Giants.
Giants,
in Jersey.
No, he's saying that they didn't leave it. He's just saying that...
The team is
going across state lines. It doesn't matter. There is a Kansas City, Kansas as well. So if your argument is that no city by the name Kansas City exists in Kansas. By the way, we're giving this person way too much time. This is a very dumb conversation. Give me the Kansas City Chiefs or Kansas City Royals.
Outside of this, for just a minute, and like I understand that people consistently have these hangouts. Can I call for a brief moment of unity in this city? We could use it.
Good luck.
Which is, I guess I thought... We all viewed it this way, and I know Alex does, and I'm a little surprised sometimes we aren't, that Kansas City is just the metro area.
Right.
And look, we can draw invisible lines. Maybe some of you don't think Paola or St. Joe or however far out in the city you want to go, but like just a general area is Kansas City.
When you go out of town, do you tell
people
you're...
If Alex says, I'm from Overland Park, if he says he's from Kansas City, I'm like... Alex, I can't believe you. Tell that person the truth. Right. Yeah. You're from Overland Park, Kansas, not Kansas City.
Yeah, I was just in California. So are you. And someone asked where I'm from. I said I'm from Kansas City. Then if they ask specifically, then you can narrow it down. In general, I said I'm from Kansas City because most people wouldn't know the suburbs.
You think we stretch it here? You should see what people call living in Chicago in other cities. You should see how far they stretch the boundaries in some
and everything
other
goes
cities.
Way west or whatever.
Dude, they'll be 2 hours outside of Chicago and claim they're from Chicago. So some point, I don't think Kansas City's all, I mean, it's pretty spread.
I'm not from Indianapolis, guys. I'm from McCordsville, Indiana. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know where the hell that's at. We will get to the trash of the day at some point later on. We ran long there. But up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Talk a little bit more about the toughest AFC West. Do we agree that if that's the case for Patrick Mahomes here in 2020?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
25.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder.
Still very mad about our Kansas versus Missouri.
By the way, I want to say one
thing.
He's
arguing about something completely different.
He said because you all live in Kansas. I do want to say one thing. We don't all live in Kansas.
We don't, no.
I was born in Kansas while living in Missouri, and I've lived in Missouri my entire life. Alex was born in Missouri and lived in Kansas his entire life. But I've lived in Missouri my entire life.
Yeah, and look, if your argument is that it's if one of the teams or both leave the state of Missouri or KCMO, that it's not good for... We all are on the same page. There are consequences to one of the teams leaving, or both, leaving the state of Missouri. Why we brought up your text on air is you said they're not going to be called the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why we addressed your text. Nobody's disputing there are not massive economic impacts to wherever the teams go. But your text, again, was saying that they are not going to be called the Kansas City Chiefs, which we very quickly pushed back on, and it's factually inaccurate that they will not be called that. That's all, man. We agree on the economic stuff. Anyway, all right, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour, as you said. Let's talk about the AFC West a little bit, because I just saw James Palmer. We already discussed this earlier. He was just on Kay Adams, and he kind of agrees. He says this is the toughest path in the AFC West for Mahomes. This isn't the same as talking about the schedule and as a whole being tougher. He just thinks during this 9-year run of the AFC West the Chiefs are on, that this is the toughest one for Mahomes and this current Chiefs regime to navigate through. And I think you look at the QB coach combos, and I get the point. I mean, I'm not saying that the Chiefs are not going to win this division. We talked about the reasons why we both believe that's the case, that they will. But you go through the 9-year stretch. How many times could you actually say all three of their opponents had legitimate head coaches that have had championships at multiple levels or one
Rivers
level?
Rivers and Carr, if I was just like lining up quarterbacks, probably as good as you could
Harbaugh
do.
Harbaugh has a natty. He obviously has been to a Super Bowl. He's had success. Herbert, as a quarterback, while he's not a guy that has had playoff success, he's not a bottom tier quarterback. He's a top 12, 15 quarterback in the league. You go to Denver, Peyton's won a Super Bowl. Their quarterback, I think, is a top 15 to 17 quarterback in the league. His ceiling to me is around that, but they have a good coach. Go to Seattle, go to Vegas. They bring over Pete Carroll from Seattle. He of course has the ring. He has Geno Smith, who I also think ceiling is fairly low, but there's a higher baseline and floor on what you're going to get. So I do believe this will be the toughest division, I should say, based on QB coach combos. There's not going to be some team winning three or four games this year in the division.
I guess that's really the question. I looked up every single year what the division record are under Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. The best year record-wise as far as everyone being in the mix. Not the closest. There was a year where both the Chiefs and the Chargers finished with 12 wins, but the Chiefs had the tiebreaker and eventually won the division. But the other two teams that year stunk in the division. The closest it was top to bottom was 2021. Chiefs were 12-5. Raiders were 10-7, Chargers were 9-8, and the Denver Broncos were 7-10. At one point that year, were 7-6 and lost their final four games of the season before eventually, you know, I guess losing it, at least on that end. I guess it's likely that this would be the biggest challenge that they would have, but I think a lot of this depends on what you think about two quarterbacks in particular. Herbert, I think the story's just kind of told. He's at least a top 12 or 13 quarterback. It's not a laughing stock. And like you mentioned with Harbaugh, that would certainly be the case. There were still people as of just a couple of years ago because of the Russell Wilson thing questioning some of Sean Payton. And, you know, Pete Carroll's not been out of the game long, but his last couple of years in Seattle, there's a reason why he got politely fired out of his job as well. So really it comes down to, do you think, how good do you think Geno Smith and Bo Nix are? If this is going to be the most difficult division that the Chiefs have played in at any point under Patrick Mahomes, it is going to rely on those two quarterbacks at least maintaining their level of play from last year. If there's any kind of drop off, I don't think it gets any worse than 2021. Although I had to look it up because it's like, why were the Broncos? They were 7-10. Who was their starting quarterback? Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, I just think the quality of play at quarterback is higher. Now, Geno Smith, the last 2 years has not been as good as he was his first year in Seattle. He was, that's what got him.
30 touchdowns, 11 picks his first year.
He was awesome. He's not played at that level. Maybe he can find it. I'm not convinced he can, but even his floor is still higher. Guys, the Raiders were starting Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell last year. And you know what I mean? For crying out loud.
It's a big upgrade.
So it's an upgrade there. Now, I don't think they're competing for the division, but we're just talking about top to bottom. Is it a tougher division than what they have had in the past? And I think based on coaching and quarterbacks, it is, not to mention there's a few. I mean, one of the best tight ends in football also resides in Vegas. I think the Raiders are probably a 7-win team, but the difference is they're not a 4 or 5-win team, right? So it just raises the floor. You know, the
worst team being a 7-win team tells you, that there's a certain amount of challenge to the division.
You know, I think we've talked about the quarterback play. You and I are a little disagreement on the exact order of QBs. Obviously, Mahomes won.
I
would have Mahomes won, Herbert 2, then Bo Nix, then Geno Smith.
What about you, Drew? Now I am curious.
Heading into the season.
As a tiebreaker, which guy do you think is better?
I would put Bo Nix ahead of Geno Smith right now.
But to what you said earlier, it is close. Right? It's very close. I would just lean a little bit towards Bo Nix.
That's fair.
But it's very close. I just think the worst, even if we were to go division by division this year, who we consider the worst quarterback in, let's say it's Geno is, for the sake of this, let's say Geno is the worst quarterback in the division. Go to every other division. What's their worst quarterback? My point is, you can do a hell of a lot worse. Look at the NFC West is a bad example because you've got Kyler Stafford, AFC
probably South. Justin Fields for the East.
So Darnold's probably the worst quarterback in the NFC West. We agree. Yeah. So that one's actually somewhat comparable maybe to Geno. All right. So. Then you go to the AFC North. We don't know who that is.
Whoever the Browns quarterback is. Well, is the worst
Browns quarterback.
Okay, so that one, so the AFC West is better.
For now, it's Mason Rudolph, but
the AFC West bottom tier quarterback is better than that division's bottom tier quarterback.
AFC South.
Starting
for the Titans.
Anthony Richardson?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Cam Ward.
Oh, Cam Ward.
I would say Anthony Richardson.
It's probably Anthony Richardson. I'd just take a chance on
AFC East. AFC East. Justin Fields, right?
I mentioned him earlier.
Justin Fields. Yep. I mean, and you just keep going. My point is, like,
for the Giants, it's Russell Wilson.
NFC South, it's Tanner Shuck.
I'd say Russell Wilson. That's probably comparable in the NFC East.
Or Tyler Shuck, whatever his name is.
It's got to be Shuck.
So point is that the Chiefs division, their quote unquote worst quarterback they're going to face in division, is quite a bit better than 3+, 4+ divisions. Yeah.
But in fairness, I thought that, like, when we started that exercise, man, I thought that their bottom tier quarterback would be better than any quarterback in any division. And at least in the NFC West, we think it's comparable. In the NFC North, it's worse because their worst quarterback's Caleb Williams. We'd probably take him still, I think, or at least to be comparable over Geno Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
So comparable on that end. So really just the South and the East are the only ones that I'm like, sure are worse at the bottom tier quarterback rung. Because maybe, like I just said, let's make it about Bo Nix and let's make it about, because those seem like the obvious ones. Let me get into those. Maybe this needs to be more about Justin Herbert. Because if you had the same argument on the other side, Gold, how many of these divisions would you say the second quarterback is better than Justin Herbert? Justin Herbert's better than any of the second quarterbacks in the AFC East, so we're a lock there.
Yeah.
Bo Nix is not better than the second best quarterback in the AFC North, because that's either Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow, depending on where you guys have that ranked. He is better than the second quarterback, I would say, in anybody in the AFC South, because that's Trevor Lawrence or CJ Stroud or Cam Ward, depending, I guess, what he does his rookie year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So far we only have one division that we feel good about it. I would say he's not better than right now Jaden Daniels, Hurts, or Dak Prescott.
No.
I'm not taking Herbert over the second best quarterback in that division.
Nope. NFC West is interesting.
Jordan Love, that's probably the next hang up.
This goes back to our debate. Yeah. This goes back to Drew and I's debate a couple of years. I think a lot of people would probably take Love right this second, because Herbert hasn't had a single playoff win. That's just the reality of the situation. But yeah,
better than any of the second best quarterbacks in the NFC South. NFC, better than the NFC West. So like, he is still the second best quarterback right? He's still better than about 2/3 of the second best quarterback in the league, and so that does add some strength to your division. The bottom end's not quite as, it's just not, there's no true, like, this is a joke. And so much of this is, does Geno Smith eventually turn back into a pumpkin? Does back with Pete Carroll, new system, new team, getting a little older? And does Bo Nix have what a lot of quarterbacks have, a year two struggle? Like, and I'll just point out someone who I still think is a really good quarterback in CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud was nowhere near the quarterback in year two as he was in year one. Doesn't mean he can't be that quarterback again in year three, but like for the division this year, I think there's a pretty good chance that Bo Nix is like 85% as good as he was last year. And if he's 85% as good, they're just a worse team, and they're not as competitive as they were even just last year in this division.
And to your point earlier when we had this discussion, that's the offensive line staying healthy. You know, some of the other things that helped Bo Nix along. Because I remember early on, he was making some horrible decisions. You know, he was thrown into double, triple coverage. Like his decision making wasn't on, and then he finally got there a little bit.
No one had less time to throw in the league this year. Like he was quick. They made and look, that's Sean Payton's bread and butter.
Sure.
Sean Payton's bread and butter is, what if you hold on to the football for all of half of a 1 second and we'll just make it work? So I'm not saying it can't work in the long term. It definitely can.
There was some news out of Chicago today with a former Chief, Joe Tooney. We all know, of course, he was traded in the offseason to the Chicago Bears to bolster that offensive line to help Caleb Williams out. And Joe Tooney signed a 2-year extension with the Bears worth $17.5 million per year. He'll make $51 million over the next 3 years, $33.5 million of which are guaranteed. And the expectation when the Chiefs traded him to Chicago is that the Bears were going to give him a new deal based off of where his performance was at, and he was entering the final year of his contract. So the question would be, would you have been more likely to be all right with that deal, retaining Joe Tooney and moving on from Trey Smith? There's the only two options you would have had. There was not
an option to keep both.
They weren't going to keep both. I still think, you know, a lot of this comes down to, if you are confident still to this day that Trey Smith's going to get a long-term deal done with the Chiefs, then of course it was still, in my opinion, long-term, the correct decision. Joe Tooney's a hell of a football player, but you took the younger path moving forward. Now, if it backfires and Trey Smith's playing on the tag all year because you didn't get a deal done, then it was a mistake.
Then you should have just given Joe Tooney this money. Because this is my instinct is what Brett Veach's instinct is, which is younger player who's a really good player. Maybe he's not Joe Tooney level. He's not a future Hall of Famer or anything yet, but really good player. Reason to hold on to Trey Smith. Reason to pay Trey Smith. Man, that number on Joe Tooney is pretty good. Gold. 3 years, $51 million. Only $33 million guaranteed. Showed absolutely zero signs of regression of play last year at left guard. Still looked just as good at left guard as he ever did. Still look like an all-pro. Still look like a future Hall of Famer. And you're telling me I can have him for $17.5 million and I'm about to pay Trey Smith $24 million? I'm about to pay him $7 million more a year? And you know the way this works. Nate Taylor's talked about this a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. They've talked a 4- to 5-year deal with Trey Smith from the sound of it. Nate's making it sound like he'd like more of a 4-year deal and the Chiefs are like more of a 5. Let's say it ends up settling at 4. Well, in the NFL standards, 4-year deals are 3-year deals, essentially. And so, I'm not saying a 3-year deal is usually a 2-year deal. So, like, obviously, it's a year less. Only a year left, more control, and I got to pay him $21 million over the course of those 3 years. I don't know, man. I'd be a little tempted by this one. I'd still lean Trey Smith, but that number came in just right enough that I'd have kicked it around in house for a minute. The problem was
he'll be 33 in November.
I mean, I guess, yeah, I agree. But guard, I think, is less likely to show regression, and he showed none last year. It's different than when you and I have the conversation about older players, Gold, where, like, you can start to see, not the wheels come off, but you can see the dip, right? You can tell the progression's coming down a little bit. Did anybody see anything out of Joe Tooney that made him seem like he can't keep playing like that for 3 years? Two, 3 years?
No, but that's usually not how, a lot of times it's not a gradual decline. Sometimes it just happens. And I think he's going to be great for Chicago this year. There's nobody's disputing that. The Chiefs clearly got way worse at left guard. Nobody's questioning that.
And
but you have to get a long-term deal done with Trey Smith. Otherwise, it was a mistake.
They got an extra, did they get an extra pick for Tooney next year, right? It wasn't
next year's fourth.
It's a future pick.
Okay.
I don't remember the exact details, but that was the people were upset. I think that they didn't get a pick this year was the whole.
Because that obviously is what you'd have to weigh is, hey,
the exact details, 2026 fourth rounder.
Because that's what you have to weigh is, well, we don't get the extra pick, but we get to save some money. The guy's older, so there's a lot of different variables. But
remember, the Chiefs did not want to trade Joe Tooney. Like, I truly believe that, and they said that publicly. I think it's
Brett Feech said it's very hard.
They were in a spot where they, you know, quote unquote, had to, based off of financial restraints. They had to bring in Jalen Moore. They spent another draft pick, obviously, on left tackle. Juwan Taylor's still making 20 plus million this year, 27, I think it is. And then knowing that Trey Smith right now, as a franchise tag, he's got 24 million on the books attached to his name right this second. He's already signed the franchise tag. Hopefully you get a long-term deal done. You can either keep the 24 million in year one of that deal, or you can space it out however you want. And we, as you said, we've talked to Nate Taylor. Really, a lot of it might come down to whether it's a 4 or a 5 year deal. And of course the Chiefs want a longer deal to spread it out.
I gotta say, it is like a little, there is an alternate universe where Joe Tooney and Trey Smith get to be on the same team together because Kingsley worked out.
Yeah.
That would have been the way better. But like, look, sometimes you gotta eject. The plan at Kingsley at left tackle wasn't going to work. It's not going to work. He might still, and I still think has a decent chance to work out at left guard, but there's a world in which their initial plan of let's keep Joe Tooney around a little bit longer works out, but sometimes that's just not in the cards. We talked about this with wide receiver and everything else, and I don't know. We talked about this with the Royals too. It's a little bit different in baseball because there's no financial restraints. It is technically the Royals have some, but like hypothetically, they could just spend whatever they want. They could spend as much as the Dodgers if they wanted. They just felt like it.
Yeah.
If John Sherman was just like, you know what? What the hell? Mm-hmm. $300 million. Let's do it. But the plans change a little bit. And because financial constraints are real in the NFL, sometimes you got to make difficult decisions. The Tooney one's tough because Chiefs fans seem to be taking this one harder. But they have made other very difficult decisions. I would say equally or more difficult. Letting go of Tyreek Hill instead of paying him the $25 million or whatever the
hell. People didn't like that at the time either.
The $30 million a year they wanted to do it. Moving on from different pass rushers over the course of that time. There's been other difficult decisions from the Chiefs' perspective. And for the most part, they've been about right on the timing of those.
Yeah, I mean, understandably so, though. I think from a fan perspective, they look at the O-line that struggled, to say the least, on the left side. And then now you're looking at as, hey, well, the all pro is now gone. So you're worse at guard and there's still a question of left tackle. And it's the uneasiness of that and the uncertainty really that exists there. And it'll be the number one question the first month of the season in particular. What is Jalen Moore? Or I guess Josh Simmons, even though I've told you I'm not convinced that he's starting week one, but to me, it'll be Jalen Moore. But whatever that ends up being, what's that look like? And then do they get adequate left guard play as well after the big drop off from Tooney? Whether it's Caliendo, hopefully it's Kingsley, but if he's actually good enough to win the job, and do they get that, you know, deep down, like from Jalen Moore for 1 year, if it was average play left tackle, but they got above average or average at left guard, knowing what you have on the center and right guard perspective. And I know people don't like Juwan Taylor financially, but he's an average right tackle. You're not paying that kind of money. That's why you're not paying him to only be average.
But he's like average.
But he's not bottom five right tackle in football.
He is the most penalized player in football.
Yeah, that's still a problem. Yeah.
Like Mike,
last year was a little better, but it still is a carryover for the last 2 years.
The last 3 years, there's no player. And he's like, he's got it by like a long shot, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, the graph is really kind of silly. You're like, oh, Juwan, dude. But also, there is a point of like, I do think that sometimes he's being called for it. I think he's just getting picked on because everybody knows he's already like, I think spotlight the coach is getting his year and the spotlight's on him. And so the refs are already just looking for him to break a rule. And so, like, he gets it called on some other moments that I think some guys would get away with a gold and don't as a result of it. And that always kind of adds this, like, whole other challenge. You know, there are two things we still got to get to. There's so many things we still got to get to in the show. We got to talk about the updated on the prison escape.
Yeah, New Orleans prison escape update, including an arrest.
There's
from,
a new
inside the prison.
There's a new Jordan Hudson story with mm-hmm. Bill Belichick, mm-hmm. including one rumor that it suggests she's telling people they're engaged to be married.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point. She has him so blinded. So blinded. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
There's a lot going on. Drew was reading. I said, hey, Drew, hold on, wait. Drew suddenly was like, hey, there's some more stuff on Jordan Hudson, and it's saying, hey, this is how this whole deal fell apart. I was like, who's writing it? You know, because you always got, you got to ask that question every mm-hmm. once in a while, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't want this coming from, you know, some random
blogger, yeah.
Tar Heels like that, yeah. blog, right? I wanted this guy. And he said, the New York Times was like, oh, well.
In The Athletic, yeah.
Okay. The Athletic, they got a pretty good reputation for covering sports knowledge. And he was saying that she was asking for part of the royalties.
Someone
the
says, someone says go wanted, blind. It's called true love. You're right. You're right. You're right. It is. She wanted
some ownership of. She wanted partial ownership of the documentary, or wanted to have full content approval.
Full content approval.
Yeah.
Full content approval for someone who just came around.
When it comes to non-football stuff, he trusts her, and she is allowed to make decisions very clearly.
I'm still baffled at how
she's suddenly some business and marketing expert.
She didn't just want it. Okay, apparently she demanded she be granted content approval and partial ownership of the show, according to a person familiar with the deal.
You think you're gonna watch it in HBO meetings and be like, I want to own part of Hard Knocks now?
Hey,
she didn't get that real estate portfolio on accident.
I'm
you know what? They can't say no unless you ask. Can't say yes either. You know,
I am baffled at how. Because I think North Carolina also comes across as desperate in this situation of they want Bill Belichick so badly. They want to try to reinvigorate the football program badly. They're
Drew,
willing to deal with this.
The June 1st, all of a sudden it would only cost them $1 million to say goodbye to Bill Belichick.
Are you going to pay him $1 million to go away?
On June 1st, if they wanted to, they could get some booster and say, we got to get out of the situation if it got that bad. And maybe it's already there.
I think it is.
And if that's the case, if they got someone that's willing to pony up $1 million, they could say, thanks, Bill. You got paid $1 million for 3 months of distractions. Bye.
Does anyone else remember a greatest of all time?
No, this would be a great fall.
Going down
fall,
like this.
Amazing fall.
This is a very weird end to a career. One, that he couldn't get an NFL gig. Now he's at college, and his 25-year-old, maybe fiance, according to at least one report.
It makes more sense why he didn't get an NFL gig now, doesn't it? My goodness.
I have some questions.
Teams had to have known some of this was going on here.
I'd have.
Could you imagine an NFL franchise? Now, maybe they would have done a better job controlling the message than a college program would, you know, but still, if he was the head coach of the, who was the rumor a year ago? I guess be the Atlanta Falcons, right?
Yeah.
If he was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and meanwhile, like, I just don't know if we would even know any of this stuff.
Because
the NFL would keep it, like, NFL teams can hide it way easier than a college team can.
What, and Jordan would be demanding to go to Falcons practices on
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't fly. It just wouldn't fly in the NFL.
That man, maybe. Look,
be playing corner.
Again,
the rate this is going.
Again, and we've learned that she's pulling the strings on this entire thing, and evidently Bill trusts her so much. Maybe she's the one that made the decision anyways. Hey, you know, Bill, maybe you should just go to college, you know, and then we'll be able to run the show, and there's not going to be any problem. Yeah. We're not going to have to deal with the NFL. North Carolina's going to love you because you're Bill Belichick. You let me go on the field, you know, I get to walk around with the clipboard and the high heels and everything, and I get to be the star of the show. Well, all you do is just coach the guys up. We still have yet to see, to my knowledge, a single solitary play from their spring game or from any spring practice. We have yet to see a single thing come out of that. We haven't seen one.
Bill still got it in the coaching chops, you know?
I'm seeing K-State and KU.
I just hope there's some. If he
Bill
actually
hasn't done anything, I'm gonna get Gio Lopez.
If he actually coaches in week one, I just hope that there's some humor involved. And one of the audibles, instead of Omaha, it's just called Jordan. And and they'll claim it's for Michael Jordan in North Carolina, but no, it's actually for his girlfriend Jordan. That would be incredible. Please do that. Anyway, up next, let's get to what's
you're
trending.
Want to order Nike by the end of this. Too.
That's right. We'll get to what's trending, and we'll talk about Chris Bubich and what he continues to do for the Royals.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.